Antonio Prabhupada revealed that he was preaching the other few months ago to an important man in India. Prabhupada was telling him, don't waste this valuable human life. Also cultivate spirituality. Read the Bhagavad Gita. And an important man said, Swamiji, sorry, I have no time. And 2 days later, he had a heart attack and he died. The Prabhupada wrote an article on this story called Sorry, No Time. So, why does greed take place? Greed is a result of lack of spiritual knowledge. Greed is a result of having unlimited desires. We have unlimited desires. Our eyes want to go and see something photographic all the time. Our ears want to keep hearing wonder music all the time. We want more and more facilities. And living in modern society today, what do the advertising campaigns do? What do they do?
They want you to buy.
They increase your appetite. Like in eating, you have appetizers. Yeah. The people use appetizers to increase your appetite. So what does advertising do? Create an appetite for you. Buy this! You see the proof in the advertisement. Some famous movie star saying, buy this product. And the audience say, oh, this movie star, Amitabh Bachchan, he says, buy this product. He's a devta. We will buy the product. The movie stars and the politicians are the devtas of Kabir. And you have pop stars, you know, to the average video. You go to any teenager's room, if you go to a devotee teenager's room, you see pictures of Krishna around. And if you go to a non-devotee teenager's room, you see pop stars, movie stars, sports stars. Very rarely politicians. Politicians have lost support. Now, the whole world knows the least qualified people to come together with the country. That's the universal understanding. The politicians are no more heroes anymore. But movies are sports stars. So, people hire these movie stars and sports stars, you know. They pay them $1 million in India. Just say this product is good. And they say that. And people flock to buy. So advertising creates your appetite. And because we don't have any spiritual understanding, we're also greedy. We don't understand how rare this human birth is. What is lacking in society is an educational system. We don't have a proper educational system. In the Bhagavatam 7th canto, there's a nice statement by Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, as you know, was self-realized from the beginning because he heard spiritual knowledge when he was in the womb of his mother. But Prahlad Maharaj says, cultivate spiritual knowledge from a young age. Why? For the human form of life is very rare. How many of us think human form of life is rare? Of course, I see in the audience many devotees practicing Krishna consciousness, and many who are newcomers. So those who are practicing, they've heard and realized Yes, uniform is red. But in educational systems, how many really teach this? Prabhupada in the early days was giving a lecture at a prominent university in America, I believe was lecturing at the MIT in Boston. And in the audience there was a learned crowd. So Prabhupada said, is this great university, is there any department that tells you what happens after that? And there was complete silence. So we have so many educational institutions. America is the center for material education. One of America's biggest foreign exchange learning source is students that come from abroad. Students, and these students who come from abroad help the university survive financially in many countries of the world. And especially the students from India and China. So we have so many educational institutions. But how many of them teach us what is the goal of life? How rare human birth is. In the Bhagavad Gita is a book of knowledge. It's not a religious book. Some people say Bhagavad Gita is a Hindu scripture. I'm sorry, it's not a Hindu scripture. It's a book of knowledge. The elements of the Bhagavad Gita are universally true. You can discuss the main points of the Bhagavad Gita in any society, and you will find that there no one can reject the points. For example, in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna declares that within the body, what is there?
Soul.
And what is the nature of the soul? No birth, no death. And the soul is eternal. In the early, in the late 16th, in 1968, there was an article in a leading Canadian newspaper. Leading doctor says there is something in the body. When something leaves the body, the body is pronounced dead. There was a famous doctor in the Toronto General Hospital in Toronto. He had seen people die for 32 years, and he was convinced that there's something in the body. When that something leaves the body is pronounced dead. So, I was studying in Montreal at that time. So I saw that article, and I sent it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada would regularly exchange views with leaders around the world. So Prabhupada wrote an article to this professor saying, I'm very happy that at least you acknowledge there's something in the body. When that something leaves the body is pronounced dead. But this doctor said, now we're going to do research and find out where is that something. The Prabhupada wrote back and said, quoting from the Bhagavad Gita, you will never be able to find where that something is. And in the end, the doctor acknowledged, yes, what the Vedic information is far superior to what modern science could ever have. This whole exchange between Prabhupada and his doctor is published in the book Science of Self-Realization. So the point I was trying to make is, Gita says, Jayate Mriyate Vapadashyam, for the soul is no birth, no death. So the soul is eternal. Just like we discard our old clothes, we wear new clothes, the soul leaves one body and takes over another body. The next question is, if the soul is taking on another body, whatever body should it take? I don't mind taking on another body, as long as I become Bill Gates. Or another multimillionaire. That's not enough. There's the law of karma. Bible says that as you sow, we shall reap. Based on how we act, how we perform. So the point we're trying to make is, people don't have any education. They don't understand that body is temporary. They don't understand that body is going through different phases. Birth, growth, maintenance, producing byproducts, dwindling and vanishing. So whether you're a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian, you have to go through these six stages of transformation. So the conclusion is, what the Bhagavad Gita says is universal knowledge. As Gita says, Rajabhidha, Rajabhidha. So why are people greedy? They have no knowledge of the soul. They have no knowledge. To them, this is totally foreign. And why they don't want to admit? Why they don't want to accept their soul in the body? Because they believe that if I acknowledge the soul in the body, then after death, I will have to face punishment. So they would like to believe everything ends with death. That is unfortunate. So, what causes grief? I was recently, 3 weeks ago, in China, and I've gone there to present a paper on business ethics. You're wondering, what am I doing to be a good paper? But anyway, the conclusion was, using the Bhagavad Gita, as you are presenting, people are not ethical. Why they're not ethical? According to the Bhagavad Gita. So, people are not ethical. Why? They have greed. They may talk very good philosophy, but they don't practice it. Because nobody really believes in the soul is eternal. So this is proper understanding. And that is there in the Bhagavad Gita. And that's universally acceptable by everyone. So Bhagavad Gita, in summary, is a book of knowledge, not just a religious book. So why are people greedy? Because they think, if I just get a little more, I'll be satisfied. Am I right? Lal Maharaj makes a statement. First he said, Nate vidu svartakate mi vishnu. People do not know how real happiness will be found. Most people think, if I get a little more, little more, little more, I will be happy. But is that true? You've seen so many movies, you were not satisfied. But you think the next one is going to satisfy me. In India there was, I'm sure all of you know, Reliance. They came up with a new telephone offer, Jio. Anyway, they were offering 1 crore movie songs. I have a few thousand free movies. They were offering virtually everything free. And people went for that. They bought into their telephone system. And I heard that everybody had that Reliance phone. And people would all day just watch movies. Watch movies and hear the movie songs. This year in Bihar, the results of this year and last year, the results of 10th grade exam was a disaster. I forget the exact percentage. And a survey showed the reason the students did so badly in the exam, when they were all watching movies and listening to songs, and they didn't have time to study. So we have unlimited desires. Someone thinks, oh, 1 crore free movie songs. 2,000 free movies. What a deal. But they don't realize that the time they waste cannot be made up with the wealth of the entire world. There's a nice statement by Chanakya Pandit says, a minute lost cannot be made up with the wealth of the entire world. So we don't value time. We don't realize how precious time is. We don't realize a minute lost, even if you want to give, even if you pay $1 million, you can't get it back. So, greed is a result of unlimited material desire. And in the absence of proper knowledge, we think that these desires can be fulfilled. We just watch one more movie. We just buy this new car. I'll be totally satisfied. Can you ever be satisfied? Most of you were one time in India, right? Now you are in the dream capital of the world. You have to thank Hollywood for that. Hollywood has done a great job in making America's image like the dream capital of the world. People all over the world think, if I can just get to America, doesn't matter, H-1 visa or... if I can just set my foot in America, I'll get all the happiness I grant. But now you all have come to America. Either some of you are students or working in IT or whatever. Of course, now you are at Uncle Trump's mercy. So, doesn't matter what you're working on, doesn't matter which field. The result is what? Having come to America, what do you see? Still the same misery. Birth, death, disease. Is that free in America? No. They say there's only one business that never gets into recession. You know recession. Everyone knows what a recession is. There's economic boom and then there's an opposite. And sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes up. Now it's a boom period. The one period thing that doesn't go into recession, that is the death industry. People are always dying. And there was once a dialogue between King Yudhishthira and Yamuna. So King Yudhishthira asked, what is the most amazing thing on the planet? And the answer was, at every moment, millions of people are dying. Still we think, I will not die. And even if I think I will not die, I think, even if death comes, it will come after getting my permission. And then someone knocks at the door, you see who it is, and then you allow him to come in. But does death come by taking our permission? There was once a lawyer who was about to die. And the lawyer told Yamuna, Yamraj, you can't take me away so fast. You have to give me notice. You know how lawyers work. If you don't vacate within 2 weeks, we'll do give you empty threats. They do that in America too. Okay. In America is one country where lawyers are the most expensive in the world. So this lawyer, Tony Amrad, you can't take me away so fast. Give me notice. Yeah, after 6 months, your death will come. Yamra said, who says I didn't give you any notice? How many hair do you have on your head now? He said, I'm totally bald like the Hare Krishna. So, how many hairs did you have 40 years ago? Well, I was like a movie star. How many teeth do you have now? None! Even the artificial teeth have fallen. When the gums get weak, and even the artificial teeth kind of don't hold. How good is your walking legs now? And now, I can't walk. How good were your legs 30 years ago? I was part of the US Olympic team. So Yamra said, your hair started falling, your cheeks started getting wrinkled, your legs started getting weak, your hands started getting weak. And you said, I didn't give you any notice. I gave you so many no notices. But you ignored all of them. Now you have to die. So we're all getting notices. You're even young. Every young man gets noticed. And the scriptures say, there's danger at every step. So, our topic today is greed and aspiration. There are two types of greed, let me tell you. One is material greed, and the other is spiritual greed. So we are essentially discussing material greed. So we have the material greed because of lack of spiritual knowledge. And because of the ignorance that if I just get some more, I will be satisfied. You know, a major portion of the world's business is controlled by a tiny percentage of the population. Why? They think that I should have more, more, more. I don't have enough. I need more, more, more. First you want to be the richest man in your community. Then you want to be the richest man in your country. Then you want to be the richest man globally. So, this is what they call a rat race. So because we have this unlimited greed, unlimited aspiration, unlimited desire, we keep endeavoring, 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 not realizing the end can come at any moment. And then when the end comes, a whole human life is wasted. So, how many of you are newcomers to Krishna consciousness? So, I was told 40% of the audience. Okay. So, you must cultivate spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge doesn't mean I can't make progress in life. It doesn't mean you don't go to school. It doesn't mean you can't get the best education. It doesn't mean you can't do well in business. But you must have the proper understanding. Lord is the proprietor of everything. And my duty is to engage in service. So material greed can never be satisfied. Your material appetite cannot be satisfied. Sometimes you have an itching sensation. So you would have an itching sensation. In the beginning when you scratch, you get some instant relief. But then the disease becomes worse. So if you have unlimited material greed, you won't have time for spirituality. Many times we invite people for spirituality, they say, sorry, no time. And keep endeavoring. There's a man in Washington I regularly meet. He has three jobs to maintain himself. Why? Because he has a very big wish list. Whereas, if you have, if you're content in life, then how will you be content? Only if you have spiritual understanding. Prabhupada used to give an example of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. These Goswamis of Vrindavan, especially Rupa and Sanatana, they were holding very important positions in society. They were ruling the richest kingdom on the planet 500 years ago. And they had unlimited wealth. And Rupa Goswami resigned from his government service. They had a whole boat full of gold coins. These you have the paper currency, isn't it? And what's written on that paper currency? Who knows what?
In God we trust.
In God we trust. Somebody replaced that with in greed we trust. In God we trust was the money, in greed we trust. So we trust in greed. The greed can never be satisfied. So anyway, Rupa and Sanatana, Rupa Goswami resigned in a whole boat full of gold coins. And he distributed his wealth in a very exemplary manner. He gave 50% to the Brahmins, 25% he kept for future emergency, and 25% he gave to them. These Goswamis of Vrindavan, they had so much opulence. But when they came to Vrindavan, they lived like mendicants. Madhukari, going house to house and taking whatever they got to eat. But they were totally satisfied because they had a holy name as their asset. In contrast, Prabhupada gave a story. There was a very rich lawyer in India. He was helping Mahatma Gandhi in the freedom movement. He used to regularly donate money to Gandhi's program. So Gandhiji told him, well, now I want you, not your money. This man was used to a very high style of living. So he reluctantly joined Gandhi, but he didn't survive for long yet. I was attacking him there. Because it was too austere for him. So if you have spiritual understanding, you will know that in the material world, nothing is going to satisfy you. If you really want to be satisfied, you should take shelter of shelter. So spiritual greed. What is spiritual greed? Spiritual greed means I have a desire to see that everyone gets this knowledge of God. I have a desire to see that people become really happy. Take for example, we're having this program today. Why? What's the real purpose of this program? And I believe that Mother Gita has a regular online program with you all. What's the purpose? The purpose is very simple. To give people the real knowledge of God so that they become happy. That is the real goal. Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya, at the age of 70, with only $4 in his pocket, he left India on a cargo ship. Have any of you traveled on a cargo ship?
No.
You won't even travel if you've got a free ticket. Forget a free ticket. And if somebody gave you a bonus package, I doubt if you would do it. So he did that. Why? Only because he desired that everyone would know have. And he was convinced beyond doubt that if people want real happiness, they have to take to spirituality. But spirituality is not really a foreign word. It looks foreign to us because we are so committed to a nonsense life. And spirituality tells you, stop all this! Do what's right. So, if you want to be greedy materially, your human life will be perfect. And therefore, be content with what is provided by the Lord. There is a famous book in America, Small is Beautiful. But our philosophy is, small or big, unless it takes to spirituality, you will never be content. So material greed and aspiration can never be satisfied. Doesn't matter how much you obtain. If you take the spirituality, then you will be satisfied. And then, in happiness and on distress, in both the situations, you'll be satisfied. So please take interest in spirituality. Don't keep us spawning tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. The Prabhupada needs to give a story. There was once a devotee, a person, who would bring water every day to the Jagannath Puri temple. But he would not go inside for darshan. He would leave the water at the door and say, Kal! Kal! The word Kal, what came? Kal. That came before you. So, that is the reality. You may have the best insurance package. You may have Obamacare or Trumpcare or whatever. But these packages are not going to protect you. If you really want protection, take to the holy name and take to the Bhagavad Gita. So I'll stop at this point and take on questions. Let's see how intelligent you people are. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Maharaj?
Yes.
How do we improve the quality of our aspirations? We can't live without aspiring for something. But how do we improve the quality of our aspirations?
We need to purify our desire. We can't stop desiring, as you rightly said. We need to purify. We need to realize that unlimited material greed is not going to satisfy me. I must find time for spirituality and live within limits. I must find time to chant. I must find time to read the Gita. I must find time to associate. And then you do your job over. We don't say give up your professional goals, etc. But purify your lifestyle. More questions? Prabhupada used to say, asking questions is a sign of. What is a sign of? Okay. Yes.
Sentiments and emotions, how do we differentiate that what sentiments are
Maya's doing and what are Lakshmi's? If you are in doubt whether you are doing the right thing or the wrong thing, take help of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Shastra means voice of God, as you find in the scriptures. Guru means spiritual teacher. Sadhu means dual practicing spirituality. Just like, let's say you have a pain in your chest. You run to the doctor. Is this cardiac or is this muscular? Right. So similarly, even with regards to spiritual guidance, you should go to the proper source. Of course, you have Prabhupada's books that explain everything, but we should also, if still you won't target him, go to the spiritual teacher. Is that fair? Okay, more questions? Yes.
If my greed does not harm anyone, why is greed bad?
Your greed won't harm anyone. It will harm you. If you have unlimited greed, you will be the loser. If we take to spiritual life, we are the gainer. If we don't take to spirituality, we are the losers. The preachers are just commission agents. They get commissioned from the Lord. Yes, he tried to preach and bring somebody back to me. The ultimate gainer and loser is yourself. So let's say you have unlimited greed, and your greed is in an area where you don't have much competition. Usually, to satisfy greed, there's tough competition. All right. Let's say you have greed for money. So you go for a job. You're not the only one applying for the job. Others are also applying. So, even and because we have unlimited greed, then you won't have time for spirituality. So therefore, simple living, my thinking. Simple living means you live simply. You don't have to live up competing with your neighbors. And think high. Think about the goal of life. Think how you can achieve real happiness. Yeah? Anymore? Yes.
Stephen Hawking, the physicist from UK, who predicts different things for human beings, he has told that in about 300 years, man and human beings should look out for life outside Earth, like Moon or some other planetary system. And we were just talking about Kali Yuga coming to an end in about 400,000 years. So what's your comment based on his observation? Or rather, what's your observation based on his comment?
To be honest, I'm not so familiar with his prediction, if you want to call it. He's forecasting. I have faith in the Vedas, which say that Kali Yuga will go on for another 427,000 years. But after 10,000 years, there will be no religion on the planet. Man will eat man. And it's going to be a very unfortunate age to decide. So we shouldn't waste much time. As it is, you can see, things are getting bad to worse. In many parts of the world, including India, it's running out of water. Am I right? The world is running out of natural resources. America may have discovered a lot of oil, but there are many other resources that are being depleted. And the world is becoming a more difficult place to live. Few rich people doesn't mean everybody is rich. So, Prabhupada used to say, This virtual world is no place for a gentleman or a gentlewoman. So make plans how to get out of this virtual place. Okay? More questions? Yes. Yes, sir.
Maharaj,
maybe you can mention your name before you.
My name is Mohit, and thanks for speaking on this topic of greed and personal aspirations. My question is, as long as, if I understood you correctly, as long as we are doing the right things, if we are not doing anything unethical, if we are, you know, following the right means to accomplish our personal goals, but still we are not spiritually inclined, it is equated to greed. Would it be the same thing without spirituality, even if we are on the, if we are doing the right things and, you know, not doing
without spirituality. Without spirituality, you can never be on the right track. But if you don't have spirituality, you won't have a proper moral understanding. And you will do anything you want to satisfy your greed. You know, one of the biggest beef exporters from India was not a Muslim, was a Hindu. I don't know if he's still the biggest, but just a few years ago, he was the biggest beef exporter. He was a Muslim, Hindu, and he was doing beef exports. Why? Gave him money, gave him profit. He didn't care how he got the money. Understand? So if we don't have spirituality as a guide, You will never be on the right track. You need, just like all of the world people are realizing, that our educational system is a failure. Our educational system is not producing men of character. It's not producing men of integrity. And what's the reason? Lack of spiritual education. Therefore, in the Catholic schools, even in America, they give you spiritual education from a young age. Prabhupada wanted the Bhagavad Gita to be taught in the schools of India from a young age. Like they give you moral education in many schools. Okay. Any more questions? More questions? Yes.
How do we understand our greed is spiritual or material? Because like sometimes we feel if we are this thing, I can serve the Lord and do this.
If your greed is, I want to make $1 million. And build a nice temple for Krishna, then it's okay. I want to make $1 million. Increase my bank account for the Hare Krishna. No, I have nothing. And then greed is binding. So, greed should be for the right cause. More questions?
Maharaj?
Yes.
You were saying about education, and for instance, if I'm working a job, I have to be educated in the context of that job. So within our Krishna consciousness movement, does our education system have to be something that, say, people outside, so I respect that, or is it, should it be focused on just spiritual education? Should we try to look like the professional world?
Yes, you look professional also. We don't say, don't go to school. I didn't go to school. Yes, Gopal Hari, stand up. He has a PhD from Oxford University. At what age did he get his PhD?
Yes, yes, yes.
What age?
I have my master's.
Stand up. He was born in America. He got his master's when he was 19. He got his PhD when he was 23 from Oxford. And then he was a professor. But we don't say, you're a devotee, you can't study, you can't go to school, tear up your degrees. We don't say that. But we say, use it for the right cause. Okay, any more questions? Yes, sir.
Sir, schools over here, as you said, churches have church school in many parts. The mosques have schools associated with them, madrasas, whatever they teach. You are an influential man. I know you've met the world leaders. Do you think India can implement a school next to every temple it has?
A school next to every temple?
Right, where it can impart spiritual education.
It's going to shine hard to do it. We have Gita contests in which lakhs of children take part. Well, in Haryana, they will introduce Gita education, I believe. But it's not easy to get things done in India because of the political composition of the country, Muslim, Christian, etc. So we are trying to get people to read the Gita, take exams. Now, a few years ago, we also offered lucrative prizes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not very lucrative, but the one of the in South India, one of the children who won a Gita contest was a Muslim. Mm-hmm. So when we were giving him the award, we asked him to say a few words. So he said, when I see a Muslim going to the mosque, I see he has a Quran. When I see a Christian going to the church, I see he has a Christian. He has a Bible. He said, when I see a Hindu going to the temple, I see him going empty-handed. So we are trying our best. It's going to help. But there's a limit to what it's going to allow, you know.
Yes.
So all of you should vigorously support. Any more questions? No more questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, myself Gaurav. Thank you. Maharaj, most of the Parvat Prabhupada mentions pure devotee. If you are a pure devotee, then at the time of death, inauspicious or auspicious, you don't have to worry. So how do I know that I am approaching to the right, to the pure devotee consciousness? What are the checks and grahastha?
We should see how attached am I getting to the holy name? How attached am I getting to the philosophy? How attached am I getting to the shastra? Am I developing humility? And when you're in doubt, ask the Guru and Sadhu. Just like when you have high temperature, you put a thermometer to test. So these are our thermometers. How attention I'm getting. Am I chanting the holy name out of force? Or do I have a spontaneous attraction to chant? So if you keep chanting, gradually it will lead to spontaneous attraction. Okay? Any more questions? Yes. Yes, sir.
Does spiritualism teach shunning of drinking and eating non-veg?
If you want real spirituality, yes. It means no meat, fish and eggs, no intoxication. If you want sure bottle spirituality, then you can do everything. Eat, drink and be merry. You have to decide what you want, the real thing or the false thing. Once I asked a spiritual preacher, you people talk so big, you attract so many people, but you never talk about the tapasya or austerity, which the scriptures talk about all the time. He said, Swamiji, if I talk about austerity and tapasya, nobody will come to my lecture. Prabhupada was bold from day one. He presented that truth. He didn't care. When Prabhupada came to America, he met a group of Swamis who were already in New York. It was in 66. So they saw Prabhupada dress up in dhoti kurta, tilak. So they drove Prabhupada. Swamiji, you want you to America. We are veterans. You should also dress up like us in suits, eat with fork and knife. And then he made me have some girlfriends. Or you should wear the dhoti kurta. Prabhupada didn't compromise. He presented as truth. So the genuine spiritualist presented the truth that says no alcohol, no meat. Right? Mm. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
I have a grandmother who lives in India and she's very old now. She's in 90s now. And I talked to her on the phone. And she's been spiritual her whole life, very pure woman. She lives by herself because she doesn't want to come here. And my grandfather passed away and everything. Every time I talk to her, she's just saying that, I pray that God takes me now. Mm. Obviously it's sad, but I'm like, what can I even say to comfort her?
Tell her, keep chanting. Tell her to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and depend upon Krishna. When Krishna wants us to go, we'll go. When we are born with a predetermined itinerary. Yes, I mean, take a trip. Our itinerary is made. We are all born with a predetermined itinerary that you cannot shorten, cannot lengthen. So whatever is destined, she will live. But if you chant the holy name, then that will be very auspicious. Okay? We have another question on this side. Yeah. Spiritual greed means I'm desirous to make everyone spiritually happy. Mm-hmm. Desirous. Not that I want to preach so my army becomes bigger than his army. That is not spiritual greed. Spiritual greed is I want to give everyone spiritual knowledge so that Krishna will be pleased. Krishna said, of all my devotees, those who preach my glory are very dear to me. The spiritual being means I want to make everyone happy. Okay. Should we stop?
There's a question over here.
Yes.
Maharaj, how do we develop that spiritual greed?
Everything requires endeavor. You heard that phrase, God helps those who help themselves. You heard that?
Yes.
It's something new. It's a very old phrase. So So we have to endeavor. We endeavor by chanting, and as we chant, the heart gets cleansed, and the heart gets cleansed, we develop a higher understanding. So the key to development of good quality in this chanting of the Hare Krishna, or Buddha. Okay. Any more questions?
Here.
Yes.
I don't have any questions over Bhagavad Gita. Since I was like past Varna case, I'm trying to listen Bhagavad Gita. I just want to know what is your aspiration in material life and spiritual life.
My aspiration. My aspiration would be to see all of you become Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna, all of Krishna's instruction. That's all.
Wonderful.
Okay. Okay, anything else?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Maharaj, if Hare Krishna, somebody does not take up to chanting, which is the most important, then what is the second thing we can give them so we can help them?
Ask them to donate to the temple. If they can't even donate, they say, oh, I don't want my bank money going down. And tell them to come and work for Krishna. Come and wash the pots. Come and sweep the floor. Just come to the temple and have free food. Okay. Any more questions? I should call it quits. So thank you very much. Where is the local host? Thank you for... Where is your sister?